Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Heart to Heart. This is Rini. Well, I finally purchased the movie Bully, and I watched it this afternoon with an 18-year-old girl and a 16-year-old boy and a 15-year-old boy. And we have so many questions and so many things were upsetting to us that I have to share. Number one, in the movie, even after the movie starts telling the story of a suicide from a young man who was a little bit different most of his life and in accordance to the father's portrayal of him, who takes his own life, hangs himself in his bedroom at age 17. And this couple moves forward with an organization called The Silent Will Be Heard. So that part of this documentary was very moving, very sad, for all the obvious reasons. But then as the camera crew moved in and went to some of the schools and we met some other kids, we met a young boy who was made fun of and called fish face and picked on and came from a very large family with other children. And he was bullied all the time. A young woman who came out of the closet and in the neighborhood where she had lived in her whole life, even her parents were ostracized, and a very religious community. So, of course, you know, it was against God, and there was all the turmoil that had to do with that. One of the things, though, that bothered me more than anything was I didn't see a lot of adult action. Even parents, their first instinct was to ask the kids what they were doing wrong, if they were, you know, in some way initiating it. Are you fighting back? Well, are you going to allow them to hit you? One mother even said, do you feel, does that make you feel important when they pick on you like that? The teacher in the middle school where this child was going to school, I guess she tried, but it was really not very impressive, pretty futile, said that she had spoken to kids and said that when she's on the bus, they act like angels. Well, now there's a shocker, right? The principal of your school is on your bus and everybody's behaving. Imagine my surprise. So when she did question some of the other kids, there were some repercussions, but they were minor. Compared to what was going on. They didn't show any stories of anybody being beaten to a pulp. They didn't show any stories about anybody certainly being injured to the point of having to be hospitalized. They showed everyday bullying, the kind of bullying that takes place in almost everybody's life in one degree or another. And some of it was just making fun of because they were different. Some of it was picking on because the child themselves lent themselves to being the brunt of jokes and what have you. But again, you can expect some of that. As a grown woman, I expect some of that. But I also expect that the people that are in charge and that have taken a job as a teacher or taken the job as a principal of a school. And I'm not saying they're all doing this because I think there's some schools that are really wonderful and people are really paying attention. But it really hurt my heart to see if the portrayal that was done in this video is one of truth and actual footage, which I'm assuming it is because it's a documentary, then these people purely did not care enough, nor did they take it seriously enough. One girl that reacted after being picked on continuously took a gun to school. on the bus. And the worst, she got the worst punishment of anybody. She got put into a psychiatric hospital until the doctors were sure she was safe to be let out. So, again, we're putting that message out there. Don't let anybody bully you. Stick up for yourself. But if you go overboard when you're sticking up for yourself, be careful, because you're the one that's going to end up in trouble. Is that really the message we want to put out there? Is that really the answer to this kind of an epidemic, where it's okay for a gang mentality to just gang up on one kid in a school ground? I saw a video today on television that was of two girls fighting on a school bus. And everybody was screaming on the school bus, hit her harder, kick her. She had the girl down on the floor, had her hands up on the backs of the bus seats, and was like trampling her, just stomping on her like she was playing in the sand. And somebody sent this video in to be viewed on television. I am, to say the least, beside myself. I feel like too many people, what's that old saying, walking around with your eyes wide shut? I think that's what's happening. I cannot believe that this can go on to this degree. I had a vision of myself trying to figure out how I could look inconspicuous, which isn't going to happen, and walk around the school and see what I see for myself. But I look like a grandma from head to toe, so I can't do that. I won't fool anybody, and more than likely, kids will behave if they see me because I have that kind of a presence. However, somebody needs to find out what's going on, what's really going on, and if anybody's doing anything to stop it or to keep an eye on it or to even keep it at a level that is understandable. I have to wonder if perhaps we shouldn't be putting out information about what it means to be bullied, what a bully actually does to you, that it's not okay for somebody to continuously make fun of your clothes. They're not your friend. They're not doing it because they're trying to be entertaining. That's a form of bullying. It's not okay for somebody to come up to you and jab you or punch you and mess with you like that, or mess up your hair or take your hat off of you and slap you across the top of your head. That's not a friend. Maybe we need to talk about that so that some of these young people will understand that this is not a friendly gesture, that this is not okay, that this is not the kind of behavior that you want to be surrounded by. Because it appears as though, with young people in particular, and I'm not going to leave it with them because I know that it happens in the workplace and even in homes everywhere, everybody seems to be very available to jump on a bandwagon. And the gang mentality kicks in even if there's only three people involved, because people walk around closed up, frustrated from this, frustrated from that. Yes, even 15-year-olds get incredibly frustrated. And all of a sudden, somebody opens this floodgate to let go of some of that frustration. And then you have a mess. You have tragedy often. You certainly have somebody or some child or some grown-up who's going to be hurt badly. And if not physically, their heart's going to hurt. They're going to be hurt psychologically and mentally by the behavior that's coming from all these other people. This movie has me thinking so much, as you can see, that I feel like there needs to be a follow-up documentary that shows people exactly what has to be done so that we get ourselves in a better place with what's going on with these kids and everything that's happening out there. I hope I'm going to take this movie to some of the schools where some of my grandchildren go to school and hope that they will show it in the school, because perhaps that will open some eyes to some of the young people so that they'll understand a little bit more what actual bullying is about and how hurtful it is and what it does to people. I met a group of young people in Miami who were going to an art school in Miami, and I met them on a television show. And they had taken it upon themselves to have an organization that was all of them combined on a board, so to speak. And the leader of all of them was this very outspoken, charming, charming young man who said, "We never realized that there were kids that we go to school with who don't know what it means to be Jewish." And I said, "Sure, I can understand that." He said, "So in our group, there's Jewish kids, there's black kids, there's gay kids, there's Israeli kids, it's all different." And I said, "I understand that." And he said, "So you can come into our office after school and ask questions about our lifestyles so that there are more questions answered without any kind of bullying or ridiculing when somebody doesn't understand something." I was blown away by this. I don't know if they're still doing that. I certainly hope that they are. They're a very long way from me, so I didn't stay in touch with any of them. But I was so impressed that they were doing that, and that makes so much sense to me. Because what you don't understand, even as an adult, you often don't like or you fear it. It's our makeup. If we don't get it, we usually don't want it. So this happens in schools all the time. I thought their idea to share with everybody, they had a young man who was gay and a young woman who was lesbian, and they both shared everything as well, which I thought was just spectacular. I mean, and luckily they were all very, very able to speak eloquently and nicely and answer questions. They allowed me to ask some questions. They were wonderful. Would be wonderful if that could happen in some more schools. I think that one of our biggest problems today, of course, and I've mentioned this before already on my brand new radio show, is lack of communication. And lack of communication can be deadly in more ways than one. I am hoping that I hear from the producers and the writers of this film, Gary Liefer, who has been a major advocate in this movement, and this movie has given them my information, and they've allowed me to advertise the movie on my website and on my Facebook page, etc. And as I said, some of the schools this year are doing No Bully Day, and I'm hoping that I will be invited in to bring the movie so that the kids can see the movie themselves. My teenagers found it to be upsetting and sad, but they said the same thing I did about people not paying enough attention and the fact that a lot didn't change even through the course of this film. So I'm going to open up some lines. I hope we have some people that are interested in talking about this. I know my Shelley is here tonight, so I'm going to invite her in, and then we'll see what happens. Hi, Shell.
Hi, Reen. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing good. A little, I'm having the same reaction to everything you just talked about that you mentioned. That's very distressing. I'm actually very surprised about some of the facts that you just relayed to us. And I'm also, I would like them to come out with a Bully 2. The bully mm-hmm. movie, if it only went into the surface bullying, which is how it starts anyway, There really needs to be a sequel, and maybe if the original movie gets enough notoriety, they might do a sequel and cover some of the more extreme situations of both bullies and the bullied. You and I both know that the bullies obviously can do great harm, and actually they cause kids to commit suicide, or like what happened to your Michael. But on the other hand, sometimes the child who is the one being bullied is the one that snaps and hurts people. And that's where you get these kids going to school with the automatic weapons and they just blindly, take out 20 people, and even people that weren't at fault for bullying them, just because they're so tired of it. You know, they're different. They feel different. They feel displaced from society. And that's their answer, So it's not always the bullier that's the one that causes the most damage. Sometimes it's the ones that get bullied that they just get such a warped idea of life. They're so miserable, they're so unhappy because nobody will accept them, that they just feel all people are horrible, and they just have to, and a lot of them will create a massacre and then take their own lives at the same time. So it is something that needs to be taken seriously. It's something going forward that I like your idea of going into the schools with the movie, and maybe if people around the country hear this, they can take the movie in, or venues can open up where you can go in and talk to other schools and make a presentation.
Well, I know that there are some schools that have already shown the movie, and I don't know. I never heard enough feedback in regard to, what kind of reaction most people had. I will say this. I will say that the other very large factor in this that I saw is after a child is bullied for so long, they become, first of all, complacent many times, and they actually think that it's their lot in life and that's what they deserve.
Right.
To be,
an abused woman.
Exactly. The same exact thing in my notes. I've written that bullied kids start to believe they deserve it, people, kids, adults, whoever, that have been abused most of their lives. They believe that they deserve it. In one of the parts of this movie tonight, when the mom is so upset when she realizes everything that's been happening to her eldest son, she says, "Do you like that when they do that to you?" And he goes, "No." And I'm thinking to myself, what does she mean by that? I mean, is she?
I know.
There must have been something in her head that made her worry that something else was wrong. You know what I mean? Because when they
attention.
Yeah, and that maybe that's something that's wrong. I think most of us are you always look for a reason for everything. I mean, and let's face it, because we're human beings, there's not always a reason. Sometimes we just do stupid things because we do stupid things. And I do think that as a parent, though, well, a perfect example, two kids are outside playing, especially when they're all under the age of 10. They come in, and Joey hit me with a rock. Well, Jimmy hit me with the rock first. So you have Joey's story and Jimmy's story and then the truth, right?
Right.
So it's the same thing, I think, very sadly, when we as parents hear something like this going on, because we really don't want to believe the truth.
Right.
Because the truth is too big a thing to deal with. I'd much rather think that my goofy kid did something and made somebody angry and that's why they reacted. To think that somebody just intentionally wanted to hurt my kid is kind of overwhelming for me.
Right. Well, a lot of times you're talking about really little kids. They're just trying to clown around with each other, and sometimes they go too far, and then when the other kid retaliates, that's when all of a sudden they have to come up with the excuses because they really just don't want to get in trouble. It's really nothing more than that. There really is very rarely ever is there malice when you're talking about little kids. But when you start getting into the teenagers, because now they're forming opinions, they're forming prejudices based on things they've heard their family say, their parents say, their other friends say. They're starting to give in to peer pressure. If they see the clique they want to be friends with doesn't like this person, they're going to go out of their way to be mean to that person so that their clique will like them more. You know, they start getting into this kind of nonsense. And so a lot of times there are underlying reasons. And one of the biggest underlying reasons, and I don't mean to keep harping on this, all right, but it is a lack of self-esteem or a lack of a good self-image or self-confidence, because somebody that's self-confident doesn't care. They don't even care what their clique thinks. You know what I'm saying? They have a sense of right and wrong, and they act on it. But most kids don't have that. They identify themselves by the group they hang out with, by the group that's going to like them. And even if they really, really like another person, if the clique they want to be in with or the clique they're already in with doesn't, they won't befriend that person and they'll actually be mean to them. And I saw that even when I was a kid, and I know it's worse now. I saw that there was this one girl that another friend of mine liked. And when it was just the three of us, she was really sweet to this girl, but the girl was unpopular. I couldn't care less. I didn't belong to a clique. I liked who I liked. I had friends in every group there was in high school. I was just kind of my own person, you know. But I also didn't get picked on because I had a certain level of self-confidence about me, so I didn't get picked on either. But then every time my other friend was with her group, she was like so mean to this girl, and it was always like it was like a split personality, you know. And it was like because she had to show up, and it used to hurt my other friend's feelings all the time, you know. And then when she'd be right, she'd, well, I'm sorry, but you know, I can't act like that in front of them. I said, then why are you friends with her at all? You know, this kind of nonsense. And I know it's even worse today because peer pressure is worse today than ever before because kids are meaner. They really are meaner than when I was in high school. I can't believe some of the conduct I see.
Yeah, well, I the meanness. Again, I think frustrations are greater. I think when I went to school, it was, you know, you had to wear the right clothes, you had to do certain things, and you had to be sort of in, you know, in the swing of things, so to speak. But it wasn't to the degree it is now. People didn't really know the difference between how much this outfit cost versus that, as long as it was the same. I had girlfriends whose mother made their clothes. None of my friends knew the difference, but now that's totally changed, and people know labels. Yes. So that has made a big difference. But I also believe that, like you said, we all are meaner and get angrier about things. But again, you know, God knows where the accountability lies for that, in what we do, in how we take care of ourselves, how we maintain our diets, all the kind of things that you and I talk about all the time. You know, it could be any of those things. But the problem that I saw tonight that really hurt me was that I know this was done purposely to open people's eyes, and yet there was so a real lack of any kind of empathy from anybody.
Wow.
You know, in the school, it was awful. And then when I realized they were even showing that with the parents, I mean, until a child took their own life, and then the parents were devastated and were afraid that they hadn't done all that they should do. I mean, you know, hindsight, you know. So, but in the beginning of everything, and of course you're devastated for the families involved where kids have taken their own life and everything. But this one family talking about their gay daughter, here's the truth. You know, I have four kids that are, you know, are the love of my life and my the bane of my existence all at the same time. So it's like, you know, we are what we are with our families and our children. But if I thought anybody was picking on one of my kids so bad and I couldn't do anything about it, we'd move. We'd leave.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, if I thought I couldn't go to school and say, look, this is what's happening, and yes, my daughter's chosen another lifestyle, and I know we're all devout Christians here, and I know what you've all studied all your lives, but this is my daughter, the same little girl that you helped raise in this community. You don't love her anymore?
Right.
Because I still love her. You don't love her anymore? And find out, and if they say, well, we can't deal with that, then I'd be gone.
Well, you know what I find amazing is that, and this information is out there. It's not, you know the way I am. I do a lot of research. I read a lot of books, medical books, and science research and things like that. And I watch a lot of those type of shows. And this show was on about 2 years ago. I don't remember the network, but anyway. And they were talking about all the genetic research going on right now. And they actually proved that the vast majority, not all, but the vast majority of gay people, homosexuals, are that way due to a genetic code. And they actually identified the gene, the difference in them that gives them that propensity. And, you know, people always say, you know, it's a lifestyle choice. It actually isn't a lifestyle choice. It's who they are genetically. Now, there are some people that go that way because of abuse or because of something else, but that's a very, very small percentage that become gay because of emotional influences. The vast majority are that way because of their genetic makeup. Now, think about that for a moment.
Well, absolutely. I've always believed that. Mm-hmm.
Right. But the thought behind that is, then how silly is it to be prejudiced against them or to take an attitude towards them when it's who they are? You know, God doesn't make mistakes, you know, that whole thing. If you're a spiritual person, you're not supposed to judge. It's not your place to judge anybody. So I don't want to get on a religious, you know, soapbox here, but I'm talking about just socially accepted behavior. This is not a choice these people are making. It's who they are, you know, like I said, for the vast majority of them. And it would be like being prejudiced against brown-eyed people because you're blue and all the people in your clique have blue eyes. It's mm-hmm. that silly when you come right down to it. As long as their behavior is just like anybody else's behavior, and they're not doing anything that's criminal with, you know, with their particular preferences, you know, or their lifestyle, well, who cares? What business is it of yours? You ever heard the saying, you know, it's none of my business what you think of me?
mm-hmm.
You know? And it's like people need to start looking at their own nest and not being so concerned about what everybody else is doing when the vast majority of times it doesn't even touch them.
Of course. Well, and of course that's what we talk about in everything that we talk about. That's the nut in the middle right there,
mm-hmm.
is that inability to look at people, accept them for who they are, what they are, where they are, why they are, instead of feeling like it's any of your business whatsoever to tell them that they need to be different in any way, shape, or form. That's
right.
The whole bad part of our existence. We, for some reason, think that, you know, we can do something or should do something, I guess the right word is, to make somebody more in our eyes more perfect, where, it, you know, I don't know what is perfect. Do you?
No, and I think that I think a perfect person would be a little intimidating to hang around. I'm certainly not one.
That must be why we like each other, honey. Because for me, it's not about that anyway. My friends, Spike, my husband, Spike, always used to say to me, Renee, you could be happy at Mom and Pa Kettles or the White House. It wouldn't make any difference to you. You'd fit in with both families. And that's
the
truth.
Way, I'm actually the same way, and you know that about me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, but what I find astonishing is that, you know, I don't have tolerance for other people. I actually have an appreciation. I find the diversity of cultures very interesting to me. I like meeting people from other cultures. I've had friends from all religions, a multitude of countries and cultures. And to me, it's always been exciting. You know, I like the different accents. I like hearing about, you know, their traditions, and they're different from mine. And the one thing I see, you know, and I don't want to sound corny or anything, but if everybody is the same on the basic level, that what everybody wants is
mm-hmm.
an affection and a sense
That's
of
right.
community. So if we all want the same things, how different are we? You know, you hear people, you know, they're afraid of people, you know, who are from the Islam religion. Well, you know what? Terrorists are the exception to the rule. People who practice the Islam faith are also terrified of terrorists. You know,
mm-hmm.
those aren't people from Islam or from the Muslim faith. They're peaceable people. You know, so you're talking about millions of people that practice this type of religion that are very, you know, peaceable, very sweet people. I've met many of them, and they're terrified of terrorists, but everybody, if they don't really pay attention, you know, they lump them all together. And the terrorists
mm-hmm.
are the exception to the rule and the ones that are perverting their religion. You know, it's
mm-hmm.
things like that. And so when you come right down to it, prejudices are based on the exceptions to the rule almost across the board in any type of nationality or ethnic group or religion that you can think of. The stereotypes are based on the exceptions, the ones that behave unacceptably or the ones that don't behave lovingly. But for the most part of that particular genre, they're very decent people, and they have the same desires about life that you and I have.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, but don't you think, were you listening about the teenagers that I met several years ago when I was doing a TV show that told me the organization that they had together, and they were bringing mm-hmm. Young other teenagers in to ask them questions about their, their Jewish background, their, different...
Fantastic.
Oh, it was amazing. And these, you would have loved these kids. They could have been on Broadway. They were all so versatile and so sweet and friendly and everything. And I had a very nice visit with them for almost an hour. And but that's one of the things that they felt very strongly, and that was that if somebody hears a label, if somebody hears a label, then they make a judgment on the label instead
right.
of meeting the person.
Right.
And that's exactly what you're talking about. We're looking at, you know, a big label that has millions of differences. Every time the label is put on something, it's totally different. I mean, it's like trying to say that, let me think of a good analogy. This bag of pistachios is going to be exactly the same as this bag of pistachios just because they're pistachios.
Right.
And we know they're not.
Right.
I mean, we just know they're not. So, but we do that. We do that with each other on a major continuum, and it's really kind of scary because I think that, but we, you know, we've talked about this in many, many different scenarios. Like, you know, if you're fat, you must eat too much. If you're real skinny, you probably have an eating disorder. If you, you know, if you like to have a glass of wine after you finish eating your dinner at night, you're probably an alky. You know, I mean,
right.
we all do that. It's kind of who we've become. But what scares me, and what I saw in this movie so flagrantly tonight, was that all of these kids, except for the ones that took their own lives because it just got too much for them, they became accustomed to it and were going to live with it.
Yeah.
And unless somebody said to them, you know, something, you know, derogatory, the one young boy kept saying, well, you know, but I he's really my friend.
And what happens on both sides is that the person that's getting bullied is now being set up for a lifetime of unhappiness, because they're just going to always be in that frame of mind of allowing themselves to be bullied. And then the bullier is going to progress with a life of insensitivity and judgment on other people. So you have both of them growing up into adults that are basically dysfunctional, that don't play well with others, so to speak.
Yes.
And, I can look around my workplace and see both of those types of people on my jobs.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Me too.
Because like I said the other night, you don't grow out of these things. What happens to you as a child, you don't all of a sudden turn 21 and blink, now you're an adult and you're mature and everything that happened doesn't matter anymore. That's the adult you grow into.
Oh, Shelley, I've been holding out on that in the hopes that that's going to happen with some of the people in my life. What are you trying to tell me here?
Sorry about that.
Of course not. But I mean, it's kind of like, I don't know. You say that to people. You say, oh well, they just need to grow up a little bit. They're very immature. They're this. They're that. But it's just like I said before, in the schoolyard. I mean, in a toddler's daycare center, all these people are already there. And they're
That's
really
right.
young, but they're already there. And
already
they
there.
Just get, the bully gets to be an older bully. The baby gets to be an older baby. And it just goes on and on and on. Unless they're lucky enough to meet people in their lives who help change them, rearrange them, and bring out the best in them instead of the worst in them. And that's the most you can do for somebody anyway. When we talk about wanting to make everybody the same, it's not about that. But being a parent, the best I think you can do is bring out what is the best in each one of your children.
Oh,
and
sure.
And make a big deal about that. The fact that one of them maybe isn't so good at this, but he's like so super funny and so warm and so friendly. So that's what you go with. That's their natural abilities. Trying to make him into the honor roll student probably isn't going to work.
Right.
So, I've never met anyone in my whole life, and because you know me so well, you're gonna believe this, that there wasn't something about them that I absolutely loved.
True. That is true about you.
So
yeah.
There's always something in everybody that's like really, really wonderful. But instead of looking for that, we try to look for the cookie cutter thing that's supposed to make them more the same. Because I think we're more comfortable as a people when everybody seems the same and everybody's dealing with the same stuff and has the same this and the same that. We seem more comfortable, which is a shame, because it could be a lot more beautiful and a lot more exciting if we embraced our differences and helped people let them flourish when they have differences, instead of trying to damper them and make them like what we think they're supposed to be.
Yeah, I like that word embrace. That kind of spins off of what I said a little bit earlier about the fact that I wish they wouldn't say, it's about tolerance and tolerating other people. It's about appreciating them. And you just said about embracing the differences. And that's really where we need to move now. Let's stop tolerating each other, because when you tolerate something, it almost has a negative tone to it. I'm tolerating this bad behavior because I have to work with them, so I have to be professional and all, I don't think it's about tolerance. Being tolerant anymore. I think it's about appreciating, and I love the fact that you just used the word embrace, embracing the differences in each other, because it is what makes it. I don't want to just be friends with people that are just like me. There's thousands of different interests out there. And it's exciting when I talk to somebody who's, you know, gotten into something that I never did, and then we can sit there and we can have a conversation, and I can learn something new. You know, I'm in my mid-50s now, and every day I get to learn something new just because I choose to speak to somebody who's a little different than me. And how,
that's right.
How, and mm-hmm. that keeps you young. If people would just understand, that keeps you young and youthful. Don't stop learning. Don't stop stretching your imagination. Don't stop finding out new things, new cultures, and engaging with people that are a little different than you. That's what makes the world go around.
That's the truth. That is the truth. That is the truth. You know, today is Valentine's Day, and I wanted to make sure that I said happy Valentine's Day to everyone. It was a kind of a rainy, messy day for Valentine's Day, but it was still a beautiful day. And there's somebody out there that is one of the dearest friends I've ever had. And I want to tell you a story. In 2000, when I decided I was going to take the job at Hippocrates, I was managing a hotel in Deerfield Beach. And I accepted this job, gave my notice, and I was taking applications from people for the housekeeping department at Hippocrates. And I met a whole bunch of people up here, and then I get a call from this man who says to me, I really need a better job, you know, where are you, I'll come see you and everything. I said, well, I set up that one day, and now I'm not available until next week again. And he said, that's all right, I'll come to you, where are you? And I said, Deerfield Beach. He rode his bicycle from West Palm to Deerfield Beach, and it was hot, hot day. It was June, and he showed up. We interviewed for almost a half hour. I was like, oh, my gosh, he's wonderful. I hired him, and he still works at Hippocrates, and today on Valentine's Day, which I always thought was very appropriate, is his birthday.
Oh, wow. I'd never realized that.
Yeah. So I want to put out there, happy birthday to my Jeffrey, one of the best, nicest, closest friends I have ever had in my whole life. He has helped so many people, been there for so many people, and only in his quiet little way. He doesn't do anything with a lot of falderal. He's just there. He's like,
I know.
He's like the kind of constant everybody wants to have in their life, and I am more than happy that he's in mine. I wanted to make sure. Sorry I jumped in the middle of all the other stuff we're talking about, but I thought I'll get carried away and forget to say this, and I did not want to miss his birthday today, and I did not want to miss the opportunity to embarrass him, I'm sure, and tell everybody what a amazing, wonderful friend he is to me and mine and to many, many other people through the last almost 13 years that I've known him.
Well, I think to talk about people like Jeff and a lot of the other people, I think it's totally appropriate to talk about people like that on this show, because he's warm, he's kind, he's genuine, he's loyal, and people need to become more like that throughout their lives.
Yes.
You know, he's loyal to you, and because of that, you're loyal to him.
Yeah.
You know, and that creates a lifelong bonding. How many people out there don't even have one friend they can say that about? And you
I'm very blessed.
I remember when I worked at Hippocrates, and you and I would have to have a meeting. We'd walk out of the office, we'd come back, and there'd be a little something, a little tiny homemade something that he had done the night before. It was just on your desk, like a hit and run. He wasn't even there. You know, he was like so unobtrusive, and it was almost like stealthily he would give you things. Remember?
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
You know,
yes.
A sweet, sweet, sweet man, and you know, very quiet, very laid back, but a hard worker, and the guest.
Oh my gosh.
Him.
Yes, his work ethic is unapproachable.
Unapproachable. Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
he's amazing.
I think it's fun to talk about people like that on this show. because it should inspire people. When you act with integrity and honesty, when you're genuine and when you truly care for each other, first of all, your life becomes a lot more fun. Because when you open your heart and allow yourself to feel affection for other people, even people that you don't know well, you just meet someone and you instantly allow yourself to just be friendly towards them and like them, it actually energizes you. It just feels good to be around people. Sometimes I'd be walking around Hippocrates and I'd be having a stressful day or be under a lot of pressure, and I'd run into a guest, and I would always smile when I would see the guest. It was just an automatic response for me. The minute I would smile and talk to that guest and walk away from them, all of a sudden it was like, I got a shot of caffeine. All of a sudden I'm like energized, I'm wide awake again. And that's what interacting with people should do for us. But it's a mindset that we have to have. I enjoy being around people, and because that, I benefit from the interaction, and people usually feel the energy coming from me. So, and that's something that we can put out there.
Well, and I think you're right. You just gave me a thought. I think every now and then I will recognize specific people that I think are above and beyond, and maybe have a couple minutes to sing their praises a little bit. It certainly won't hurt them, and it won't hurt other people to hear that there's people like that out there. I think that's a great idea. So maybe we'll do that on a steady basis, at least once a month, recognize somebody for going above and beyond, and see if more people jump up to the plate. I think that you and I are pretty blessed anyway with a lot of really, really cool people. We've met a lot of wonderful people in the last several years, and a lot of them we met at Hippocrates, and a lot of them we worked with, and some of them were guests. I think it's it's kind of a magical place for that kind of stuff. So
yeah, no doubt.
We were lucky to be there.
Yeah, I consider myself very blessed with the relationships I have. Obviously, our relationship, and I did make other remarkable friendships there that I'm still friends with today, and it's even if you just have one other person that you can connect with, it's so important to find somebody, whether you're 10 years old or whether you're 70 years old. We need that connection, and it's nice if you can have a group of friends. But even if you can just find that one other person that gets you and that you can be yourself with and that you can talk, sometimes that's all it takes to keep someone on an even keel.
Well, in the video tonight, that's one of the things that they showed in the classroom. The teacher asking everybody how many friends they had. And she said, who in the room has at least one good friend? And a couple kids raised their hand. Who in the room has at least two good friends? And a few more kids raised their hand. And who has more than three good friends? And then a lot of them raised their hand, all except for the young boy that, was being bullied. He didn't raise his hand. But then he went home and looked at pictures in the yearbook and said, this boy and this boy, I'm pretty sure they're my friends, But, that brings up an interesting point. Maybe that's something that could be looked into. You remember, did you ever go to camp when you were a kid, like a summer camp?
Uh-oh.
Well, they always make you have a buddy. Yep, and the buddy is supposed to, you're never supposed to swim by yourself, you're never supposed to go for walks in the woods by yourself, you're never supposed to get into a kayak by yourself. All those kind of rules apply. And the buddy, in lieu of anybody else, including a counselor or anything, is supposed to be with you all the time. And I'm thinking to myself right now while we're talking about all these things and remembering everything that I watched in this video tonight, there were a couple boys that they talked to for two of the boys that took their own lives. And there were remorseful, a couple remorseful children that said, you know, he was a good guy and he liked everybody and he just, life was too tough for him. But imagine if we could, I don't know, kind of not insist that they have a buddy or choose that buddy for them, but talk about the fact that having a buddy in the outside world when you go places or when you do things is really important, and maybe see if we couldn't bring that back a little bit. I remember in grade school, you were assigned somebody to hold hands with in the hallway.
Now that I remember, believe it or not.
Uh-huh.
That I do remember. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And see, and now that's not true. You're all single file, and you move real fast, and it's very chaotic too, by the way, in the hallways and the schools and stuff. But I remember as a child, you had, and nobody straggled at the back. Everybody had somebody's hand to hold, and if you were odd, the teacher held your hand. And if it was odd all the time, then the teacher would pick special kids to hold their hand, and that was a big treat as well.
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that would be an interesting suggestion at a, I'm sure not in a middle school, the kids would boo me out of town, but in elementary school, at least, you know, at least up until, like, say, second grade or something.
Yeah, and at that point, they actually want that camaraderie. They want somebody to, you know, that they have to look out for, or, you know, and it's cute because they actually feel like they're looking out for each other. It's like a responsibility they're being given, and kids of that age, they want that.
Yeah,
you know, it's you know, you can see that in them.
Well, I know AJ does. AJ is six, and he picks out kids in school that he really likes, and if somebody picks on them, he comes home and tells me about it right away. And I always ask him, did you do something to help? And he goes, yes. He said, he told one little boy who kept putting his hand in this little girl's book bag, you know, just to I don't mess with her or something, he'd put his hand in the zipper part of her book bag that was on her shoulders, and he came over and moved his hand. I said, you didn't hit him or anything? He goes, no, Graham, I just took his hand out, and I said, mind your business. I said, you said that to him? And he goes, yeah. He said he had no business putting his hand in Nanica's book bag.
Oh, I love
And it. I said, you're right, he didn't. But instead of saying, hey, get out of there, anything, he said, mind your business. I wonder if I use that terminology or if his mom does, because I was shocked to hear him say that, mind your business. That's kind of an old-fashioned
right.
saying, mind your business, right? But that's what he did, and I've asked if there's been any more problems with that, and he said no. So it tickled me, but I think to myself, you know, a lot of times communication again, if they've got somebody to talk to and you can always know a little bit about what's going on, it's good. I did talk to the kids tonight about the buses because I wondered, after seeing that video today and then watching this movie tonight, the kids that are in high school said that if anybody does anything, their bus driver stops the bus, and the bus doesn't move until everybody's back in their seat and everything's cool.
Wow.
So that made me feel better, and that's the high school.
Mhm.
So
yeah. So what was going on when that girl was stomping on the other girl in the school bus? Was the bus stopped, or was the bus driver actually driving when all that was going on?
The bus driver was driving.
Oh my goodness.
And I just tuned in. I don't know whether you've ever seen it. It's on at 12:30 every day on Channel 5. It's called Right This Minute. And they do videos that get sent to them so people can see what's going on. And somebody sent them this video. I don't even know what part of the country it was in. I have no idea. But, I mean, this young girl in a fetal position on the floor was being, like, tromped on by this other little girl. Well, little. 13, 14 years old.
Yeah, when they showed the video, did they elaborate on any backstory, or did they just show the video and put it out there and that's it?
That's it. They put it out there, and there was no other talk. I thought, matter of fact, it reminds me, I think they said you can get online and see more about this, so I might do that tonight and see what I find out.
Yeah, I'd like to know a little bit more about the backstory. Like, did the driver ever get involved? Was ever, you know, I mean, like, did anybody ever ask the driver why he didn't or she didn't pull over and stop it? You know, that kind of a thing, and, you know, that kind of stuff. I just and what is the end result? Is the girl okay, or is she,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
terrible?
I don't. I like
on something like that. You can do terrible damage.
Well, that's what that young boy did to Josie Ratley, and he's in jail for 20 years. So I don't know, but I will find out tonight. I'll get online and see what I can find out about that. And I'm hoping tomorrow night we can talk with somebody from Neighbors for Neighbors, and I'm working on some other places to talk about some of the things that they're offering. And Daniel, that spoke with us yesterday, is sending me a list. And I did want to mention very quickly, and I will post it on my web page, but I know that, or not on my web page, but on my Facebook page, the number 954-794-8526. You can leave a message if anything other than medical. If you have a problem with a place to stay, if anything is going on and you need the help of an adult, you can call that number 24/7 and someone will call you back. That means you have to be at a phone where they can reach you. But you may call that number, and it's 954-794-8526. And that's the Tree of Life Branch of a Nation Foundation. That is directed by Daniel Sohn, the young man that spoke with us on the phone last night. And he's doing some wonderful things, helping kids that are in transition and helping kids that are otherwise maybe on their own already. So please utilize that number. And it will be posted on my Facebook page, which is just under Renee Brewer. You're all welcome to friend me and get on my Facebook page anytime you like. And we'll see what happens with some of these other organizations and how many things I can come up with that will be beneficial for everybody to know about.
That's great.
Anything else going on, Shel, that you know about?
No, I'm just, I loved listening to Daniel last night. I heard a lot more about his story than I was aware of, so I thought it was a great show.
Yeah.
And the number that you just gave out, that he said last night that once you leave the message, they have that manned in such a way that the person would get a call back within 5 minutes. Am I correct?
Yes.
About that?
Yes. That is what he said. And but like I said, you know, a lot of people forget that they have to be at a phone. Don't just use somebody's cell phone real quick and make the phone call and then think you're mysteriously going to hear back from these people. If you make a phone call from a landline or from a cell phone, stay with that cell phone for at least 10 minutes. Let's give them 10 minutes to call you back and see if there's something they can do to help you. And a lot of times, you know, there's something available someplace and there's something that they can do for you. We don't want anybody out there feeling like they're all alone.
Is there an age limit? Does it go up to like 21 years old or something? Or what? Did he ever say if there's an age limit of who they can assist?
No. Well, yeah, in some of the things that they're doing goes up to 21. But I want to say that whoever calls this number, if it's something that the kids can help with or the team can help with, then they will. But you'll get a call back, at least giving you another number to call, at the very least.
Right. Okay, gotcha.
So I will talk to you all again tomorrow night, and hopefully I'm not on such a tirade as I was tonight with the movie.
No, I know that was a great start.
Well, I'm really feel like now, you know, there's more that can be done with this, and I hope the producers call me and want to talk, because I would love to be a part of that. So Everybody be well. Happy Valentine's Day. Again, happy birthday to my Jeffrey and many, many, many more. And God bless. And talk to you tomorrow night.
Happy Valentine's Day, everyone, and good night.
Good night, Shel.